irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Dr. John DeWitt. This show brings you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family addresses issues such as family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, your health and longevity, and so much more. As I'm sure many of you expected to hear Alan's voice this morning, we are reminded of the reality of what he does when he's not on the air. As a licensed private investigator and crisis interventionist, he gets calls and has to respond quickly, be it locating a runaway, escorting a teen to a specialized program, or retrieving an abducted child, or in this case, assisting his own family's needs during this crisis. Shows like this grow by listeners spreading the word. Its focus is on kindness, gratitude, personal empowerment, and sharing of information to make all of our lives better. You can help by subscribing, leaving reviews, and sharing the show with your social media following. Today, I personally am very excited to have Dr. John Gray on the show. He is an amazing author that is very, very well known for the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I think I've read it several times. And he now has a new book called Boy Crisis. It threatens America's future with economic health and suicide risks. Please welcome Dr. John Gray.
Hey, thank you so much. Happy to be with you.
I really, really appreciate it. It took us some technical difficulties during all the craziness. It's like we had our own little corona computer virus going on here. It's a little nuts. So tell us a little bit about your book. What is The Boy Crisis?
Well, you know, for the last 30 years, we've been focusing on the challenges for girls. And, you know, a lot of great things were put into practice to help girls, motivate girls, give them lots of government support, government money to support them. And that whole process of empowering women, the boys have been falling behind. And there's a variety of reasons for that. And not that we shouldn't be focusing on supporting girls, but we also should be recognizing there is a boy crisis here. They're falling behind in so many different areas, in academia, in motivation, in self-esteem, in happiness. They have their own challenges, which are often very unique from girls. And so if we can focus on that, and one of our hopeful things is we increase a greater awareness of this. Not only do we have practical skills in our book with Warren Farrell, you know, to help mothers, single mothers who have boys, you know, how do you raise these boys, you know, because we talk about how statistically when boys are raised with a mother and father, they do so much better. And boys that just have a mother have extra challenges. Certainly boys who don't have a mother also have extra challenges. But we're focusing on a major crisis today in America is fatherlessness, our father's involvement in the family. And we want to provide incentives from the government to support families staying together, family education and so forth. We have something called the White House Council for Women, which is, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars are spent to support girls. But we don't have one, a White House Council for boys, and actually White House Council for Girls. And we want to create one for boys. And whether we're doing, that's the political side of this, but the, you know, it's a basic how-to book as well. We help to explore what these challenges are and how common they are and what are some of the practical solutions.
So do you think that it has a lot to do with the fact, as you mentioned, that they don't have a father figure to kind of use as a model on how to act when they get older? And so then they just kind of feel lost and get caught up in video games and all that other kind of stuff?
Well, that's half of the book is about, you know, the lack of mother-father parenting skills. Okay. So
right.
That's one half of it, but it's not the whole picture. The other half of it is biology. We're inundated today with pesticides in our food, which are called xenoestrogens. That means they register in your body as if you have estrogen. And boys need to have more testosterone than estrogen. Girls need more estrogen.
Right.
And this has a devastating effect both on girls, which is actually not recognized. I'd have to write a book on girl crisis because it's really the foundation of many of the challenges girls have today. But for boys, we know biologically when you eat meats, the cheap meats, you know, the fast food meats, they have hormones right. in them. And this lowers testosterone in boys. The xenoestrogens send a message to the brain that he has plenty of estrogen, and that lowers testosterone for the boy. So, you know, this is a big problem. We see now boys are hitting puberty much later. Their testosterone levels are basically lower. You know, it's even happening to men. The average man at 50, not every man, but average man at 50 has half the testosterone of a young man. And, you know, I get so frustrated. I read Time magazine, I remember years back, where they're talking about testosterone levels dropping at 35 as if that's normal.
Right.
That's not normal. You know, mine haven't dropped, but I have a really clean diet, and I'm very much aware of behaviors that stimulate testosterone and not too much estrogen.
Right.
This is something that our lifestyle has changed around, but the boys are, in a sense, victimized by what happens to the mothers when the boys are in the womb.
Right.
When the mother's exposed to these xenoestrogens, the boy's testosterone level tends to be lower. And the girl's estrogen levels tend to be lower. See, when your estrogen levels are lower, you feel, oh, I can do it all myself. You know, relationship, no man is an island, no woman is an island. We all depend on each other. And when you're depending on someone, it stimulates the hormone estrogen. And females require, biologically, they require twice as much, 10 times more estrogen than men. And women require 20 times more estrogen to fall in love. So a lot of women today just can't fall in love. And when they have a partner, they just don't feel love. They've disconnected from their ability to feel love, and you can measure their hormones, and their hormones are out of balance. And,
wow.
You know, part of the solution to all of this is they want to give women hormones. In some cases, there's biological problems that require that. But really, it's a lot about our lifestyle choices that throw the hormones off. So when women are exposed to these xenoestrogens, they end up feeling more masculine. And boys being exposed to it end up having more emotional qualities and more estrogen qualities. And one of the estrogen qualities, I want to just have fun. You know, we're men. You know,
right.
We have to get up and do our work, but then we want to come home and have some fun. It's a balance, you know. If we're lucky, we can be working hard and having fun at the same time. So there's the part of us that loves our life, loves someone, loves our children, loves studying, whatever it might be. If you love and you feel love, or you feel pleasure, or you feel fun, or you feel stress-free, that's going to where you're depending on something for your happiness, that's going to produce estrogen. And where you're depending on yourself for your happiness, that produces the male hormones.
Right.
And
I remember
this is huge out of balance today biologically.
Right. I remember I'm a doctor of chiropractic myself, and we do a lot of nutritional analysis and such. And I remember how surprising it was that additional body fat that the body doesn't need, it actually secretes its own estrogen and causes the estrogen levels to go up, which is just insane. So that already, not even considering the xenohormones that you're referring to, it's like how, I mean, that's just, it's diet is so important. And I just can't believe that people don't really, they think it's just like an aesthetic thing and a vanity thing. They want to look good and get a better diet or whatever. I'm like, no, this is for not just how you look, but how your entire body is functioning.
Yeah, and you know, as men get older, you'll see that they get that big belly fat. Belly fat is producing estrogen in men and lowering their testosterone as well. But here's another factor, which is, you know, not that this is always the case, but sometimes women will continue to put on fat because they're not interacting in their behavior in such a way to depend on others. See, it's depending on others, relationship, relating to others and needing others, feeling you've got my back, I depend on you, you're there for me, I can't do it all myself. I mean, what is the greatest line I hear from women, or the sentence that I hear from women the most when they're feeling stressed out? They say, I feel like I have to do everything myself. Now, maybe a few men say that, but generally when I say, look, I can do everything myself, I feel pretty proud of myself.
Right, exactly.
Look, I can do it myself. I don't need any help. That is part of our masculine side. We all have a male and female side. We all have these male and female hormones. But for biological health, for mental health, for well-being, for happiness, for attraction, for romance, all those good things that we want in our life and for our children to exceed, hormonal balance is essential. Particularly, it's very important for boys. When they hit puberty, puberty is supposed to kick up, but they just have, it's natural for boys to have estrogen, higher levels of estrogen between age 2 and 13. At first 2 years of life, a boy's testosterone levels are the same as a grown man. And then they come back down at 2 years old. So, you know, actually little boys, baby boys, will cry more than girls. They're more emotional, comparatively speaking, generally. These are not all absolutes, but then his estrogen levels rise up, and that's why, you know, we know that it's rather traumatic for boys when they have this naturally high estrogen level to tell them you shouldn't cry, you shouldn't be afraid, what's wrong with you, toughen up. You know, those kind of messages are hurtful and suppress that natural development of being able to be happy and have fun. But around puberty, then his testosterone needs to go way, way up. And emotions, the estrogen is not a primary factor. It's like, get the job done, do it, accomplish it, achieve it. Don't indulge too much in your emotions. And that's very controversial. What I teach is, we should have emotional intelligence. We're able to articulate our emotions. But we don't want to get addicted to them, because emotions, negative emotions, are actually addictive if you do too much of it. It's, you know, sugar is not so bad if it's a very moderate amount, but it's addictive substance. Negative emotions are addictive. That's been proven.
Absolutely. Now, why is this considered a crisis of education?
Well, it's a crisis in education because we're not attending to the boys' needs. Okay, first of all, the crisis of education is twice as many girls graduate from college than boys. Okay, if you consider equal number of children, twice as many girls are graduating. And then when you go to college, they have to lower the entrance exams in many colleges, not all, but they have to lower the entrance requirements for males so they can get equal males and females. You know, they're trying to give equal opportunity. So they lower the requirements. They have higher requirements for girls to get in. But then they have all these government programs that will pay for girls to get in, which is massive, you know, huge amounts of money to pay for education for girls and not for boys. But they do lower the requirements for boys to get in because they wouldn't be getting in. Then what happens is you look at graduation rates from college, and it's twice as many women today. Twice as many women today are graduating from college. You've got all these male dropouts. You know, who knew? I mean, I didn't know that. I mean, this is happening right before our eyes. And, you know, parents all talk about their sons coming home from college or coming home and just playing video games. We have this massive addiction to video games. That is basically his addiction for males is low testosterone. So you play these games, which bump up the testosterone temporarily, and then it crashes back down. You know, you're playing that game, you're racing, you're looking at pornography. Pornography is the major, you know, challenge for males today. We just want to become aware of this. Then we can start figuring out solutions, and we can discuss solutions. It's not easy, okay? This is a crisis, okay? This is... you know, we're talking about the virus today, where, you know, the pornography, the addiction to pornography is a virus in a sense.
And unfortunately, because everybody's homebound now, I don't mean to interrupt, but everybody's homebound now.
Please do.
It's going to definitely be a huge spike in all that, the pornography that's dealt with.
It'd be interesting to see those statistics. I haven't looked at those yet, but there's going to be a spike in video games. There's a spike in pornography. And what happens for males is that when they masturbate to pornography, it has a different physiological reaction than if they masturbated alone, and has a different physiological reaction if they masturbated only, say, once a week or twice a week. and it has a different biological reaction if they actually have a partner. Okay, right. When you have love, let's say you're having sex, even making out or whatever for younger kids, but teenagers, but having sex, there are lots of them having sex. When you have sex with somebody you care about, what happens, and you have a relationship, which is not that common, they just sort of have these one-night stands and whatever, but when you have a relationship where you know somebody and you're having sex with them and you ejaculate and you're a male, your body makes prolactin. This is biological truth, okay? Prolactin inhibits the sexual addiction. It means that you're not just obsessed with sex all the time. And if you have sex with somebody you don't know, somebody you just met, somebody you don't care about, somebody who's on the internet, what's going to happen is your body doesn't make prolactin. It produces high levels of dopamine, which then causes you to become more dependent upon those high levels of dopamine to be stimulated. And after, you know, a few years of that, you can't even get turned on to a real girl because you've desensitized the receptor sites in the brain. You're dependent upon the high dopamine stimulation. In a sense, it's an addiction, like cocaine. Once you start taking cocaine, your ability to experience normal happiness is depleted, and you look to the addictive substance to give you happiness. So the problem isn't that you're looking to cocaine for the happiness. The problem is that it literally changes the brain so that normal stimulation doesn't provide any stimulation. So you find, you know, when you go off of these drugs, you're going to be bored, you're going to be, you feel anxiety, you're going to feel stressed because normal life doesn't give you meaning or fulfillment. You need that drug to do it. These are biological changes in the brain. With cocaine, they found just one use of cocaine will desensitize 30% of your dopamine function in the brain, which means that, see, normal dopamine function means I'm reading a book and I'm alert and I'm excited, I'm interested and so forth. I'm in a classroom, I'm listening to a teacher, this is all interesting. Listening to my wife, okay, what else is she saying? You know, it doesn't bore me to death. You know, this normal stimulation should produce plenty of dopamine. One shot of cocaine and you've just lost 30% of your ability to experience pleasure through normal stimulation. Wow. And that's a pretty shocking thing. Now, you do it again, it doesn't go down further, okay? It knocks it down. And if you do it again and again and again, it will take longer for the brain to recover. But the brain can recover. That's the good news with all this. Your child is playing video games all the time. That's not as addictive as pornography, but it's still addictive. It produces this high level of dopamine. And so the solution to this, and I only talk about this stuff because there's a solution, is for parents to understand this is an addiction. Take away the video game and watch how your child reacts. You know, if they just start reading books, they weren't addicted. But if they get upset and they're anxious or they're bored or they just feel despair, they get depressed, they want to overeat, they want to eat junk food, they want to drink huge amounts of coffee. You know, these are signs that you're looking for another high dopamine stimulator to compensate for not playing your video games.
Right. So, and there's a lot of video games out there right now where you actually get into a group of people, but you're all online. So technically you're playing with people that are all over the world in this one particular game. So that's like social for them. But that's really a little bit different than a regular video game.
It is different. And, you know, it's there is some interaction there. So, you know, that's team and that's a better thing if you're playing games and you're playing with other people and you're interacting with them and you have a relationship with them. Relatedness is really a really good thing. That's why right now, you know, people are isolated and alone. It's really good that they have some social media. They have some, you know, ability to interact with people with FaceTime. FaceTime's really good. But also, you know, the different various kinds where you're actually having a conversation. That's really important. And audio conversation is just as stimulating and sometimes even better than visual stimulation. But they both work. But keep in mind that it does desensitize the brain much more than just being in person with someone.
Right.
You'll see, like, for example, you go to restaurants and you'll see people talking on their phones or looking at their phones rather than looking at each other.
Yep.
Now, why is that? Because looking at each other is too boring. you know, I've seen you before, but you know, this is this is something new on my phone. You know, it's that hit of new and different danger, the possibility of danger, excitement, reward, all of those things are remembered by the brain. You know, we got something, we saw something really funny on our phone. Now we want to, that's going to draw our attention. So our brain's constantly looking for it on the phone rather than are we won something, are we lost something. You know, reward and danger are both produce dopamine levels, the anticipation of reward or danger. So the high stimulation, we have to recover by having low stimulation. And low stimulation are things like meditation, like walking in nature, like singing in a group, singing songs, also reading, learning new things. So, you know, kids are at least, you know, doing the online education. That's a very important thing. Playing games is, you know, just to sit around with card games. You know, this is like a really important win-lose adaptation for children, particularly for children age 7 to 13. Playing games is really an important lesson to learn. More important, you know, than having your skills tested.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, I map out that the time, stages of our life, we can master certain skills. If your parents are attentive to you in the first 7 years of life, there's a formation of in the brain where you can trust. You know, some people just are more optimistic. Some people are more pessimistic. And certainly there's natural temperament types, but there's also traumas in childhood where if you feel I can't depend on someone for my needs, then throughout whole life, your whole life, there's this extra little anxiety and worry that I can't depend on others.
So that's kind of where the fathering has to do with the problem a little bit right there?
That's where the fathering comes in, is that there's two aspects of parenting we talk about in the book, and that, and we talk about the role of fathers as parents, is that I have a great example for this, is to simplify before I give the example, is fathers are problem solvers and mothers are protectors from the problem ever happening. They anticipate the problems. So, you know, let's not get into trouble. And for men, it's like, well, if you get into trouble, here's how you handle it.
Right.
See, there's a stance that men and biologically can have. You see, when because we're more testosterone oriented, when there's a challenge, when there's a problem, we actually get a benefit from being cool, calm, and collected and figuring out a solution to it. That's testosterone. Testosterone detaches us from our emotions, so we have less fear, we have less upset, we have less upset about it. We're able to be cool, calm, and collected. And fathers today are often put down for that. You know, you're not emotional enough. You're not, you know, responding enough. You're not anticipating problems enough. So let me give you an example of this. I remember when, you know, our kids are growing up, and I see my wife, Bonnie, is overwhelmed. And I said, Bonnie, from now on, wouldn't you like to have one day off, Monday? You know, you just go off and do whatever you like. I'll take care of the kids because I'm a writer. I can take that day off. So she's all excited about it. And I remember the first day, she said,
you were like, oh, no.
She says to me, she says, so what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to take care of the kids. You just go off and take care of yourself. And she really was upset. You know, she said, no, I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. That goes on and on. So I said, okay, finally, I'll tell you. And I said, I'm going to take the kids to Stinson Beach. That's about a 40-minute drive from our house. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, that's a great idea. Now, did you pack jackets? I said, no.
Oh,
she said, see, that's why you need me. And I said, no, honey, that's not why I need you. Because if we'd gotten there and it was too cold, and it's not for sure it will be too cold, but if it was too cold, I would solve the problem. And she laughed. She said, yeah, you'll just go buy another jacket for him. I said, we do that or we do something else. We would solve the problem. Life is not about trying to protect ourselves from mistakes all the time, but to be also, it's about that, but we also want to be able to recover from mistakes and see everything's okay, we'll fix it, we'll solve it. And so that whole aspect of masculinity is not being so much appreciated now. It's the you know, the father, which is the can do. Well, let's do this. Well, there's a big problem. Let's not talk about it. Let's not worry about it. Let's fix it. Let's solve it. That is a value of life. That's masculinity. It's a detachment which says, okay, let's be logical, reasonable. Let's solve the problem. Now, if it goes too much that way, it's sort of out of balance, just as women can be way too protective of their children, way too protective. And that's what we've sort of gotten into now, which is this hypersensitivity on campuses. It's just so feminized.
Right.
You know, they have a safe place, safe place where we could, where nobody's going to say something to offend me. Everybody is so offended, you know, to and not realizing is that when you take offense at something, you're offending others. You know, that's a great Chinese proverb. I love it. To take offense is to be offensive to someone. But there's no personal responsibility. There's no accountability. We're living in this sort of victim mentality of every group is a victim. That is, if you have too much of what I'm calling the feminine side of us out of balance, okay? The feminine side of us is the part of us that depends on others. The masculine side of us, and this is born out in and hormones. The masculine side of us is like, hey, no big deal. Don't worry about it. Okay, I don't bruise that easily. You know, we got more muscle mass. The testosterone creates more muscle mass. We bounce back. I mean, it's amazing to me to see those, you know, you go online, not online, but see on TV, the boxers, you know, they take so many punches, you know, and they survive. You know, one of those punches would knock me out.
Exactly.
I don't have that much muscle mass, but I know in Thailand, you know, I've been there and they train their body to just take one punch after another, after another, after another. That's the extreme version of nothing you can say to me is going to upset me. Nothing you're going to say to me is going to bother me. You can punch me. You can hit me. No big deal. I mean, my mother used to tell me, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never harm me. I think that was it.
Yeah.
A long time. You know, it's like don't take things so personally. And so what we're doing today is by this overemphasis on emotions and feelings and what do you need and what do you want, what's happening is we're all taking things too personally. And girls even are taking things too personally. But when boys do it, it's really bad news because it weakens them tremendously. It raises their female hormones. And then that lowers their testosterone. So the father role model of sort of peacekeeper, you know. We often think of women as the peacekeepers, but actually, as a marriage counselor, you see over and over how women will start arguments. You know, it's just they will be upset about something, and then a man that what he does because he doesn't understand the dynamics of what women need, he'll try to be logical and say, well, look, this is not a big deal. We can handle this. We'll do this and this and this. Or gee, I'm sorry, I'll do it better next time. But she will tend to be more emotional. And today, women have gone way overboard with this. They can just talk for hours, okay? I mean, you pay somebody $500 to sit and talk in an office to me about your feelings, and then you'll feel better. Now, why has this happened? It's because women need estrogen so much. That's also, we were talking before, as a chiropractor, you saw these women with these weight problems. It's diet is a big part of it. Lack of exercise is a big part of it. Also, if they don't put themselves in situations of trusting others to give them what they need, that means depending on others, not doing it all yourself, but saying, okay, I can trust others, I can depend on others, then that's what produces estrogen. When you feel like I have to do it myself, I can't depend on others, when that protective shield around us that says we're safe, when that goes away, and that can go away from trauma, it can go away from just the pressure on women today to be independent, also the hormonal imbalance due to the xenoestrogens. But when that goes away, many women will put on fat to produce more estrogen. Okay, so that estrogen, particularly, let's say you're eating a good diet and you're not eating the junk food, you might gain weight more. Not that I'm saying eat the junk food, but your body says, I need to make more estrogen if I'm a woman. This is like, we have so many obstacles. I was thinking about something the other day, and I just saw a little caterpillar going along, and the caterpillar has all these little legs. There's so many contributing factors to the boy crisis today. And one of the big ones, we talked about the absent father. Over 50% boys today in America do not have involved fathers. Like I said, some of them don't know their father. Some of them, the mother, like I know cases where the mother knows that if she's single, she gets free education. So she kicked the man out.
Oh,
now,
geez.
Certainly they had challenges in the relationship, but when you have an interdependence, you learn how to overcome those challenges. But when you have an incentive you know, I can get free education if my husband, if my boyfriend who I had a child with is not living with me. You know, we have these incentives for single women. We should have more incentives for couples who stay together. That's what's missing today. We have to look at this thing. We're giving women incentives to run away from relationships. At the same time, we're not giving them education on how they contribute to the problems in their relationships.
So is that what you mean by that it's a crisis of purpose?
Well, a crisis of purpose is basically when you don't have what used to happen in the past, okay, the purpose and meaning in life is men were the providers. We were the protectors. We had role models, which were heroes. They went to war. That was a major, you know, it was a big thing, the protector. He did the dirty jobs, the dangerous jobs. He provided for women what they needed. Okay, so what do women need men for today? What did your mother, if you grew up without a father, what did she need a man for? He has no purpose in life. There's no motivation. You know, when we were young, I remember feeling like, oh, my God, you know, if I'm going to be a father and have a family, I got to make all this money. I got to be responsible for them. I can't just do my own thing. That was a big pressure that was put on me. And that's not easy. But pressure, you go to a gym and you lift heavy weights. That's what makes you strong. So you need that pressure of I'm needed. I have to rise to the occasion. It's up to me. Nobody's going to do it for me. But, and this is what's missing, I have a guide. I have a mentor. I have a role model. I can see it done. And that gives me the confidence to go through the steps and the education and the training to do that, make money, to provide for a family. So it's literally men are motivated. We're turned on. We're excited when there is a need that we can fulfill. That's what motivates us, much more so than women. You can see biologically. There's a fire, we become firemen, you know. There's a war, we become, you know, soldiers. But today, women don't need us for that.
Right.
See, the women don't need men as providers. And women, we saw our mothers not depending on our fathers. He was the role model to say, look, he's here. You know, dad has come. He's providing. He's there. So as a male, how can I identify with that part of me that wants to provide, that will take risks, that will sacrifice, will be selfless, will rise to the occasion, will be accountable? These are masculine qualities. And we're seeing our mother do it. But where's the father teaching us how to do it? What we need to see is the woman needs a man. We need to see a man providing for her what she needs. Otherwise, we don't get the message that we have a role in life. And little girls, that's a girl crisis. I haven't written that book. But she doesn't see that she can trust men either. He can't trust himself, and she can't trust men. So she grows up feeling like no man is ever good enough. I can't depend on them. Because, see, trusting is, as I said, actually the first 7 years when it's most important. But it's a gift. If you get it, you can develop it later. But the trusting is the recognizing when your partner ignores you, for example, you still can trust that they love you and they give your life for you. When your partner's late and doesn't call you back, or your partner gets angry, whatever, you can still trust that they love you, they'll be there for you, but sometimes they can't. And the times when they can't, you trust that you can get what you need. It's just what you need from them is going to be a little later, so that's called patience.
Right.
And you have other sources of support in your life. See, the art of trusting is not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's like, oh, he did something wrong, I can't trust him.
Right.
And you throw it out. And this is ridiculous. This is the challenge that women have particularly. Not that men can't have it. Everything I say about women, certainly some men can have it because they have more estrogen. But men's challenge, and as men we can relate to this, when we do something and it doesn't work, we don't get paid for it. Paid for it in a relationship means feeling appreciated. So, you know, if you don't feel successful and appreciated, then why bother? Why bother? Why go do that? If there's nothing I can do to solve this problem, I give up and I'll do something else. So what men happens to them when they don't have the skills in relationships or in life, they stop caring. You know, I just don't care. I don't care. I give up. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to go play. And that's this mission, the crisis of not having purpose. What is our purpose? We don't have role models to teach us that women today need us more than ever, that we are significant players in the world today. And that lack of motivation, see, when you're not motivated, you're one of the causes of low motivation is I don't care. You know, this, right. I don't care if I do good in school. I don't care about getting a job. I don't care.
And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy too, because once you say that and then it doesn't work out, you're like, oh, well, I knew it wasn't going to work out anyway. So that's, it's frightening. But
exactly. And you know, the flip side of that self-fulfilling prophecy with women is I can't trust him to do this and he doesn't do it. Then he doesn't get any loving messages that he's worthy of trust. So he's not right. caring. And now there's more things she could say I don't trust him for. You know, this is a reciprocal relationship. It goes both sides.
Yeah. Well, we got to take a break real quick, John. Sorry to interrupt, but we got to take a break from the sponsors to chat and we'll be back in just a second.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And welcome back to Answers for the Family. I am your guest host, Dr. John DeWitt, and we are very excited today to have Dr. John Gray on discussing his latest book, The Boy Crisis. And I'd like to see or actually hear now what it is that your book does exactly to help solve the boy crisis.
Well, I think an understanding of the crisis is the first step, and I think we covered a lot of it. The education, boys are falling apart. Addiction, males are much higher in addiction than women today. Boys are losing motivation in life. Here's another one just that we didn't mention, and you never hear this in the media, but if you look at women 35 years and under who don't have children, they actually get paid 20% more than men for the same job. So it's all turning around, okay? And all power to women, okay? I mean, we want our daughters to be just as successful as men. There's no problem with that. But the crisis more for girls is they can be very productive. They can't fall in love. They don't make a commitment. They're often not able to make babies. Fertility goes down when the estrogen levels go down. So, and also four times more, or at least twice as much, the numbers change all the time, twice as much, to be conservative, antidepressants for women, and maybe four or five times as much sleeping pills for women. You know, when I was teaching in Brazil at a conference with doctors, and they reported that 95% of women were taking sleeping pills. This is just the high stress levels of being independent. When you're independent, you're all on your own. That produces stress for men, too. We need love and support. But it produces more stress than women. There was one study done in Europe that was showing that women, when they came home from work, their stress levels go up. They double when they come into the home. And many feminists will say, well, that's because they're coming home to this husband who does nothing. But actually, it's single women as well. So you're just coming home to your life. Women tend to bring the problems of the work world home with them more so than men. And men can tend to zone out, can tend to leave it at the office, Less and less men can do that. If you have lots of estrogen, you can't do that. You know, when I talk in my book about cave time, men need their cave time. And when women don't understand that, then they take it personally and think that it's an affront against her. Why does he want to talk to me and share with me and so forth? And he goes, why is she so unhappy and so forth? We just don't have this understanding of how we can provide the best support for each other. You know, I was talking a little bit more about the crisis. I forgot your question. If you tell me that again.
Well, just how the book helps to solve the boy crisis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the solutions. The first thing is to recognize learning the male role. Now, not just single mothers are reading this book. I'm just saying that's one of the problems. It's also fathers are reading this book and couples who are together. What they need to know is with their boys, when they're going to help their boys, they need to have conversations at the dinner table. That's one of our key things is dinner. Always have dinner together with no electronics. It sounds really simple. It's kind of like with the virus episode we're going through today. Wash your hands. Okay, sometimes the most powerful things are very simple. Not that that's the only solution. But having a dinner where everybody is there at the table and people can express their thoughts without conflict. Now, see, this is a really key thing, is that parents always want to correct what the children think. You shouldn't think that. Well, that's ridiculous. Well, that's silly. Why would you do that? That's dumb. As opposed to creating a space where people can have opinions. It's very important where you can, well, that's interesting. Well, that makes sense. So I can see why you're right there. And we can have a difference of an opinion. What I think is this. And ironically, it's back up from trying to always give your children advice and instead create conversation where they can express more of what they think and what their experiences are and be up to date on that. If you're always correcting your children's thinking or feelings or behaviors, if you're correcting so much, then your children will hide. And so they have nothing to say to you. And yet they'll get with their friends and they'll have plenty to say, because they know their friends are accepting of them. Their friends aren't trying to teach them all the time, always trying to change them. So to have conversations. And the key to this is to have mother and father as role models having conversations where nobody's correcting each other either. So no shaming. We tend to shame, we tend to correct, and so forth. A big, big part of the solution here for boys is to have a role model of a father, and this is your married and your wife, who doesn't badmouth the mother and the mother who doesn't badmouth the father. I mean, we're trying to build the self-esteem of boys. All this happens, it's a lot about, you know, we know there's the biological aspects of all this, but self-esteem, how other people treat you and think of you, has a lot to do with the hormone production in your body. And so if you get the message that you're a success, your testosterone goes up for boys, and what he needs to see is that dad is a success with mom, okay? And not just how she responds to him has a world of difference of how what his self-esteem will be. So if she's complaining about him, criticizing him, being hurt by him, they have arguments and fights, this is devastating to the sense of self for the male. Also for the female, she learns not to trust. Men learn not to care, as I mentioned before. Little boys grow up and they lose their motivation. We need to be inspired. Now, what men need to know is that we want to be the best role model for our sons, and that is confidence. When you're confident, you don't get angry. Okay, you know, if I have the solution to something, I can be patient, I can relax, I can do it. It's when we start losing confidence that, gee, this didn't work, I got to do something else, this is not happening, we feel frustrated. Now, frustration is just beginning to lose confidence, and that's no problem with that. It's just when frustration turns into anger, that's the worst role model we can have for our sons. Okay, this is how boys go down the hill, is permission to be angry, role models to be angry, that anger is some kind of masculinity, and this is how you have to be, and so forth. If we look biologically, remember I started out with a biological basis. Males need this testosterone. When you're angry, your testosterone is going down and your estrogen is going up. So let's just put that in context. Everybody always thinks that, oh, you know, I'm a gorilla. You know, I'm a big growling lion. You know, I'm a monkey man beating my chest. That's some kind of masculinity. It's not. You know, I like the Chinese movies where they'll have these, you know, Chinese emperors who never get angry. They're all cool, calm, and collected. They're master at what they do. They know kung fu, and they fight the battles without even getting disturbed. But they're doing it only to protect their children and so forth. And then they have the bad guys are always these monkey guys that beat up women. They get angry. They drink a lot. So you get this, you know, white hat, black hat kind of thing. You know, boys need to see very simply, what is masculinity? Masculinity does not complain, doesn't whine, doesn't get angry. And if you get angry, you become quiet and you say, okay, let's just think about this and we'll come back to it. And these are new skills that we want to teach. You know, use your words, not your fists is, you know, one skill there, but that's more what mothers tell their sons. I say, okay, cool off. Don't use a word. Take a time out. Take a time out. And you know, you get them looking in another direction even. As soon as a male starts to get angry, you have to get them looking somewhere else. I mean,
that's true.
Eye contact inflames the emotions more. If you're able to feel loving and connected to someone, eye contact is the best thing you can do. But if you're not feeling heard or appreciated or understood or supported or accepted, you're feeling shamed, eye contact is the worst thing. And mothers do this all the time where they'll shame their child. Look at me, you hear me?
It's
the very worst thing you could do. I want to put in one of my little parenting skills here, and which is mothers will say, you're not listening. They'll say that to their husbands too, you're not listening. And they are, the kids are listening. But what she means by that is you're not obeying me.
Exactly.
You know, you're not doing what I tell you to do. Now that would make sense. When you say you're not listening, listen to me, meaning you should do what I say. But if you want your child to listen, to do what you say, and take in more deeply what you're saying, you don't say you're not listening. That's a negative message anyway. You could say, listen to me. That's a little more positive, but better is give them something to do. And so you say, listen, right now, I want you to cooperate. I need you to cooperate. We have this to do. I would like you to do this. I need you to cooperate. So you're saying, I want you to cooperate, or I need you to cooperate, I'd like you to cooperate, depending on how intense you're feeling. And then what will happen is the child has a place to go. Oh, yeah, that's right. My role is to cooperate. We're supposed to do this together. We're a family. Right. We don't just do what we want. We do this thing together. You know, I hear on the news some of the mayors, the governor of New York saying, you know, people, I need you to cooperate here. You got to, like, do this, not just for yourself, but for others. We're all in this together here. So
right.
That cooperation. Parents, go ahead.
No. Oh, I was just going to say, we had a couple of listener questions in here. I just wanted to jump in there real quick with one of those. This is from Harvey, Alabama, someone in Harvey, Alabama. I am a junior high principal, and at a recent conference, my fellow administrators and myself spent an entire day discussing how we're going to handle the escalating drug crisis in our schools. One of my eighth grade teachers, who was helping us identify students who are blatantly passing out drugs in the hallways, had his car vandalized, and his daughter in elementary school was left a note taped to her locker threatening her life. I have your book in audio and wanted to thank you for tackling this topic in such a powerful way. If we are going to dig our way out of this, every parent, teacher, and individual dealing with our youth needs to become an activist in this cause.
Well, I don't see that's a question. It's a really good acknowledgement, and I appreciate the good sentiments there. And I think what we're looking at here is something I have omitted in our sharing so far is our academic environment should be such that it's not always boys and girls. But that's what it used to be when you had team sports, and there was always supervision. There should always be supervision of team sports. Okay, should never leave boys alone. There should be a mentor, someone older and wiser, overlooking them. And even in the earlier years, when you're going through the earlier years, there's a whole thing where you have a 10-year-old mentoring an 8-year-old, you know, a 12-year-old mentoring 11-year-old. Mentoring at any age is a really good thing. Males need to be in a role of helping others and feeling needed. So that's one thing. Second thing is when they're just with equals and they're competing, that's a really good thing. There's all these books now, and you're not supposed to compete. Come on.
I know. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy.
Right, right. So a competition is okay. Life is about winning and losing. We have to learn that, you know, it's going to happen, and we have to feel good about it. And we find our place where we're good in that process, and we're not as good as others in some other places. But we need the male supervision with the whole thing. Otherwise, you get bullies. And right. That inevitably will happen, and then the bully becomes the mentor. Okay, that's why you need someone who is secure in themselves. They're not a bully, and that's an adult. So boys particularly, they need adults. They need supervision, and they need a lot more physical activity than we're providing in schools. And this another one sounds simple, but it's physical activity that they need. There's one school we quote in the book about a school that had very low-performing students that they all gathered together in this one school, and they decided to do 3 hours of physical education every day. And the scores of the kids, all their grades dramatically improved. The number of kids that went through college dramatically improved. Before, nobody was going to college. And it was by getting some of these kids, if you're poor performers, you have low self-esteem, that means you need more physical activity. Not everybody needs more physical activity. Males will always need more than females, one. Two, some males need it even more. So you have a lower performing male, you need physical movement activities where he can sometimes win. So that's where you have where you have teams based upon somewhat equal skills. Right. So you're not like, you know, competing with guys who are bigger and older than you, but you actually have an opportunity to have more equality and opportunity to win. So this is, but there still should be win-lose, but it's competition. There's rules. You play by them. You have supervision, and you have lots of physical movement. There should be physical movement, literally. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is we have to realize these boys have too much estrogen, and so there needs to be conversations with supervisors. I mean, with mentors, where it's just boys, and they talk about challenges. So these are circles where boys talk about difficulties. With just boys there, not girls there, and because what happens is boys begin to see themselves by listening to others who are like them. And so these are circles, talking circles. Girls need them as well. But girls particularly need to share. They need to express to see themselves. Boys need to listen to others speak to see themselves. And there's usually one boy is willing to start out, you know, what are some of the difficulties, challenges that you're going through, or experiences that you've had, and you talk about things that you wouldn't normally tell to others. And this can be in small groups, you know. I agree the same thing for adults, which is men need to have men's groups where you get to talk with other men without girls around, without women around, but with a leader who keeps everything short, but everybody gets a chance to hear. So what's going on in your life? You know, talk 3 or 4 minutes. What's going on? What's going on? What's your progress? What are your challenges?
Right. And, that's, you know, different. Sounds great.
So they need to feel they're hearing each other.
Right. We have one other question I wanted to get in here, cause we're kind of getting towards the end. Yep. So my son became addicted to opioids after a football injury in his senior year of high school. We did not understand the extent of the problem until he started college last year. Halfway through, he dropped out and returned home. It was only after we demanded that he get a job if he wasn't going to continue his education that he blew up at us, which he had never done before. It was obvious he was on something, so we did a search of his room and found the drugs. He is in rehab at the present time, and we're just hoping it will work as the drugs are just too available to our children. Says, John, we have almost all of your books, and we're so excited to learn about the boy crisis on Answers for the Family. It is ordered, and my husband and I are very anxious to read what you and Dr. Farrell advise families to do in this particular situation.
Okay, with drug addiction, the last 4 chapters of the book is primarily focused on biology. And that is what's happening to males, what happens to the brain when you have an addiction. literally, you need to have abstinence. You need to have some extra support for the brain. And what I talk about there is biological supplements that assist your brain in restoring normal function. I developed this idea because I had Parkinson's. I'm 68 now. I had Parkinson's 18 years ago and cured it because I got it early stage. And Parkinson's is similar to what happens to your brain when you take a drug. You know, when you go off an addiction, you can lose your muscle control. Well, I was losing my head was shaking all the time and lost my muscle control whenever I would think. I was using my dopamine to think, and now my head would shake. So I corrected that by going to a drug addict place where they were actually doing IV drips of something called NAD. NAD is a B vitamin that they did along with some amino acids, and it went away. And then it came back, the shaking came back 3 months later, and I did it again. It went away, but this time I developed a regime of supplements for me that helped me completely correct that situation. And I've used this regime for people who are going off of addictions all the time, making it possible for them to do it. I won't say easily, but making it possible for them to say goodbye to that addiction. Most people in AA, they say they're always struggling. You know, they're always wanting it because they never healed the brain. It's actually a wound in the brain. So counseling is really important if people have a chance to talk about their issues. But if you don't have the nutrition for the brain to heal itself, it will not heal. It will just, it's kind of like a symptom relief. So what it is the most important thing that you can give to your children, anybody can give their children, I think all kids need to be taking, is lithium orotate. Lithium orotate is one of the cheapest supplements. What I put together is lithium orotate in a mineral supplement that I have at my website called Super Minerals for Boys and Super Minerals for Girls. And it's a different balance of minerals that the brain requires in order to rebuild itself. You know, so just shocking results of research showing that lithium, the mineral, actually regenerates brain cells. It also balances dopamine and serotonin in the brain. It's given to people with bipolar and toxic doses. That's lithium carbonate. But lithium orotate is more efficient in getting into the brain, so you need a little tiny bit. And it's most effective when used along with calcium, magnesium, potassium, and zinc. These are all like alkalizing minerals in the brain. So I figured all this out. I did it, and that helped tremendously every day. I still do it. Super Minerals. They're just a little couple of capsules of minerals a day. And I've seen this dramatic results for kids. I mean, like in 2 days, you notice the results. It's not a long time. This is like if you're hungry and so you get fed, you notice right away. I feel satisfied. So that's probably the most important one. Now, remember, I'm not saying this alone. I'm saying you need the good counseling, you need the support, you need the physical exercise, you need the love, you need good role models. But you can get all that, but you still don't change because you also have to have the body, the building blocks. You know, you can have the architects and the builders, but you still need the logs, you know, to build the house, you know, the wood. Yep. So this is the raw ingredients, and we're just not getting it because these kids all eat too much sugar. And sugar immediately depletes the brain of lithium. So we're all lithium starved because we're a carbohydrate, you know, society. Too much carbohydrates, junk food, and all that stuff. So that's one thing. Okay. Then I put together amino acid, a protein shake. It's real easy to make. And one of the reasons, once you have these addictions, your body is in a state of turmoil all the time. Basically, you're not going to digest your food. Your stress levels will be higher. Adrenaline will be produced in all of your addictions, and that inhibits digestion. So you need to get something that will be easily digested. And dairy products actually is how our brain develops, is mother's milk. But cow's milk, you can't digest it because cow's milk has the wrong balance of proteins. Mother's milk has about equal amounts of protein, of casein and whey protein, two types of protein. Whey protein makes the relaxing serotonin, and casein makes the dopamine, which these boys are so deficient in. So what I did is the milk of cow is 90% casein, which is not fit for a human, basically. It's hard to digest unless you have really good digestion. You can't digest it, so you don't get those amino acids. So I put together a shake with undenatured. That means basically like raw milk. It's heat pasteurized for a flash, but they're still more active. Equal amounts of casein and equal amounts of whey, which would be more like mother's milk. The next thing I did is, and it's not heat processed, high heat processed, added enzymes to it to digest it for you, and then put a bunch of vitamins in it and whatever. And that's called the superfood shake. And in that, you take the proteins and the powder, the enzymes are there, and you add water to it, room temperature water, let it sit for 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and it cooks itself. It digests itself for you, and it's a pre-digested drink. There's nothing on the market like this. Nobody's figured this out. I keep telling people, but nobody else does it. We did research on this in Switzerland, found that you're able to utilize 92% of the proteins. Any other protein substance you can eat, you're going to get between 20 to 30% of the proteins.
Wow.
Utilized. And here you're getting three times more potency, but you're not getting all the toxicity, because if you're eating a protein and 30% is being utilized, most of it's turning into sugar and the rest is toxic to the body and you have to eliminate it. So here you're getting toxic-free, sugar-free, pre-digested proteins, amino acids convert into dopamine. So what happens is now the brain is able to make plenty of dopamine. You don't depend upon this high dopamine stimulation. So that's the other part of it. So I put that little program together. And then because of all the estrogens that we are eating due to junk foods and the toxicity, and it's even in the air and water, I also made a little lemonade drink. Which you could just make lemonade for this, but I also put together a lemonade drink with probiotics in it and enzymes in it, and so that every day you start the day with a little lemonade that helps to cleanse the liver, because that liver tries to get rid of toxicity. So we want to cleanse, and then we want to give the body what it needs for breakfast, which is this pre-digested protein and amino acids. And anybody who does that, I call it the Mars Venus Wellness Solution. Within days, you'll see dramatic changes in your children. Anybody who's having some of these problems of addiction or foggy thinking or hyperactivity, any of that kind of stuff clears up very, very quickly. But if you're addicted to something, you have to refrain from the addiction. You've got to say stop. You got to take it away. And then the body will be able to heal itself much more easily and thoroughly if you give it the nutrition along with the good counseling or talking or role models, as we talked about.
And so what is what's the website that they can go to get all these great things and to order the book?
They go to MarsVenus.com, MarsVenus.com, and there's a store there. It's not really – it's a little difficult to find. You have to go to Wellness Store, and you can see I list a little video explaining what these things are that help the brain so much. And I just had such great results, so I have a health food store on my store. And the book is, of course, Boy Crisis, which is so helpful for parents to know. And that's the last four chapters of the book. I talk about the importance of pre-digested proteins, minerals, and also probiotics. These are things that we're seeing now is so, so important. Even
right.
For children who have autistic type symptoms, we've seen tremendous improvement.
And are you doing any... go ahead.
One other thing you could start with right now that anybody can do is if you've got children who are hyperactive or pre-autistic or various types of behavior problems and they're young, and even at any age, but particularly young ones, put them in a bathtub with 103 temperature for 30 minutes. And you'll see dramatic changes in a day.
Yeah.
And then you do it every other day, and you get more and more and more positive changes. Just that will have a huge effect.
And
not
that's
100
amazing.
Degrees, not 98 degrees, not a normal temperature, 103, which if you have a hot tub, they even tell you do not have children in the hot tub at 103 degrees. You know, it should be no more than 100. And there's no research anywhere that's ever said that was dangerous, but they're just saying it.
Yeah.
And the best thing for the brain, and I put this in a book because my experience of working with kids, and then they finally did the research in London, and they found that with autistic children, all the behavior problems improved. They didn't go away completely, but that was
right.
Just from one 30-minute session.
Yeah.
And then they stopped. If they put the same kids in normal temperatures, it didn't no improvement at all.
Right.
So what it does is it heats up the brain. The brain produces something called heat shock proteins, and that starts healing the brain. So that's another therapy that one can do is the hot water therapy.
That is so exciting. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I'm sure there's probably three more shows worth of information that we can have. Alan actually mentioned that he joined you at one of your retreats in Northern California after the last time you were on the show, and he really, really loved it. With all the social distancing going on right now, do you have any webinars or other ways people can follow your work?
Yeah, they can go right to MarsVenus.com, and we have a free workshop for everybody. It's right there. You can just sign up, and we'll send it to you. It's videos and so forth. I don't have any active live seminars right now, but we do have the pre-recorded ones.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed the interview, Dr. Gray. I have been a fan, as I said, for years, and I'm very excited to get in there and see what see if I can get some of my lithium working.
No, it will really help. It helps. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific time as we are joined by incredible guests and dynamic co-hosts who are focused on making your lives happier, healthier, and more at peace. And not only do I suggest you pick up one of John's books after you read it, leave a review. It's one of the greatest compliments you can give an author, which is true, with maybe the exception of buying the books or more books. Please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You can subscribe to our show through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people and be greatly appreciated. And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page and check out some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like us and spread the word. That's it for today. I am your guest host, Dr. John DeWitt, and thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.